We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Rob from Striking Gold here. Think of this as the emergency segment before the already recorded podcast. Because the episode coming up is something I already recorded earlier this afternoon. It's Sunday at 8.08 p.m. The episode was recorded hours ago, and then right before I was going to start settling down for the evening, thank you, Daylight Savings Time, the 49ers decided to let loose that they have released defensive tackle Eric Armstead, the longest tenured player on the team, lone survivor from the pre-Shanahan era, drafted by Trent Baalke, is finally making his exit from the team. Now, when this move was first announced by Bleacher Report's Jordan Schultz, I believe he was the first one to it. My first read, and I could prove it to you because my little brother texted me, and this was the first thing I told him, was just based on where the 49ers are when it comes to the salary cap, and we'll talk about this. And again, in the episode that I'd already recorded, you'll hear me talk about Eric Armstead's contract and possibly having him restructure, not seeming like there was a lot of room for that. And just dancing around the idea of what to do with a contract that has a $28.4 million salary cap number. Well, it turns out the 49ers were already talking to Armstead about restructuring. And the new, what I felt, or what I, right away, was that the 49ers asked him to restructure. He didn't like the amount they asked him to lower his worth to, and just chose to seek free agency, probably assuming he could get more from free agency, significantly more than the 49ers were willing to give him at this point. Turns out that's all been confirmed by Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area, Ian Rappaport of NFL. So my intuition was right on that one, and he declined the pay cut and is now headed for free agency just a day before agents can start communicating with free agents. Armstead's just coming off of a knee surgery. Again, he's played in a full 16 games, only four of his nine seasons. He played in nine in 2022, 12 in 2023. That's not including the playoffs, which is significant because he played in all three playoff games and he excelled. He had between 12 playoff games, he had eight sacks, 38 tackles, six tackles for loss, and 13 quarterback hits. Armstead was a bit of a monster in the playoffs. But the 49ers are in a tough spot, and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch alluded to earlier in the offseason they were going to have these tough conversations and make these tough moves if they were going to position themselves to be successful. And Armstead, you know, with a some history of injury, coming off a knee surgery that he had this offseason, and given his cap number, the 49ers probably saw that as the easiest way to find some relief in the salary, and he was unwilling to play ball. And for Armstead, who's been such a figurehead in the community and who's been with the 49ers so long, I can only imagine that the 49ers probably asked him to take a really significant pay cut for him to determine that just hitting free agency the day before it begins as the best option. I'm not ever really a proponent for like hometown discounts, you know, and discounting yourself just for the sake of the team. But it was obvious that he was unwilling to do that, or the 49ers discount that they were seeking was just so significant that it wasn't worth it for him. Now, in terms of the salary cap, you're going to see a lot of people on social media talking about this release as if it clears the way for the 49ers to just be more aggressive in free agency. It really does not. If they cut him now and make it so on the books. They're only saving $2.5 million in salary cap. $25.8 million is dead money. It's frozen. It's done. Can't do anything with it. What the 49ers can do is designate Eric Armstead as a post-June 1 release, meaning they keep his contract on the books until June 1st. If that's the case, that $26 million in dead money drops to $10.3 million and they save $18. That's likely what they're going to do, but that doesn't really help them now. And players in free agency are going to begin agreeing to deals tomorrow during the quote-unquote legal tampering period. Such a weird term. So it really isn't necessarily about clearing out money right now. If they're going to do that, they're going to have to do it with restructures. They're going to have to get crafty with it. You know, they can offset money in the way that post-June, basically what they can do is they can restructure contracts of other players so that the value matches up with what they're going to save when post-June 1 hits, if that's what they choose to do with Armstead. It's kind of like just moving money to the right and moving money to the left is the easiest way I can describe it without you actually being able to see my goofy hand gestures. And this takes the 40 in terms of, you know, spinning it forward and where this takes the 49ers. They're now for a team that has always prioritized the defensive line. They are now shockingly weak up front. They've got Nick Bosa. They've got Javon Hargrave, and that's it. Eric Armstead is out. I'm just looking at their depth chart. Eric Armstead's out. Chase Young's out. Randy Gregory's out. Javon Kinlaw. Currently, all of these players are out. Javon Kinlaw out. Kevin Givens out. Robert Beal Jr. is going to be still there. Sebastian Joseph Day out. So just their defensive line is completely depleted to the point of, I mean, it's a nothing burger now. They're going to have to really revamp that defensive line everywhere outside of Javon Hargrave and Nick Bosa. Thankfully for them, it's a pretty strong defensive tackle market. Obviously, they're going to be looking to purchase somebody there, but it's going to have to be at a significantly cheaper rate than what they were going to pay, or it's going to have to be around what they were willing to pay Eric Armstead that he was unwilling to accept. This definitely changes, depending on how they handle free agency, this definitely changes the outlook on the draft. Defensive line, from that perspective, looks like just as much of a priority as offensive line and edge. And speaking of edge, you're going to hear in the upcoming episode that I really throw my hat into the ring for the 49ers putting a significant port, whatever money they're willing to spend in free agency, to me, the vast majority of it has got to go to as close to a premier edge rusher as they can get. And we'll see how that goes. Just kind of scrolling through my notes here, making sure I didn't miss anything. Just kind of scrolling through. I do think it's necessary to read this thread from Mike Silver. He says, this was tweeted at 4:46 PM. So essentially when I was recording the earlier episode, Mike Silver is of the SF Chronicle, very much in tune with the team. He says, I expect the 49ers to approach free agency with a sense of urgency at the edge rusher position. Again, you're going to hear the episode that I just recorded, and it seems like me and Mike Silver were in line in terms of how we think the 49ers should approach free agency. That doesn't mean they will jump immediately or overpay. They want value, reading Mike Silver's tweets. Still, with players like Danielle Hunter, Jonathan Greenard, and Leonard Floyd out there, they'd be poised to move quickly at the right price. They're also monitoring the potential trades and releases of Chargers edges Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. They'll do something, I believe. Still reading, paying for an edge could mean parting ways with defensive tackle Eric Armstead and going cheaper opposite Javon Hargrave. Keeping an eye on former 49ers defensive tackle DJ Jones, likely to be cut by the Broncos. They'll also look at corners outside the slot, given Lenore's flexibility. Possibly something like the Packers' Keyshawn Nixon, who's an accomplished return man. They like an off-ball linebacker, given Greenlaw's injury. But Aziz Al-Shaair is likely too expensive to bring back. Talked about him, too. Safety, tight end, and interior line, and wide receiver, other areas of interest. There is no clear sense of whether they will pay Brandon Ayuk. Talked about that, too. Again, if it may come down to value or rethink their approach at the position. They have 11 draft picks, some of which can serve as trade capital. Bottom line, with Brock Purdy still on a rookie deal, the 49ers remain in win-now mode. However, patience may be a virtue this week, biding their time and landing an accomplished edge rusher at value would be cause for celebration. So that's what Mike Silver had to say on the matter. Again, you're going to read, you're going to get all my thoughts kind of on the matter. Again, some of it's going to seem a little outdated based on the fact that you're going to hear me talking about Eric Armstead's contract, knowing that Eric Armstead has been released. But again, it's not necessarily a move that's going to immediately clear up salary cap space. That freedom, if they do a post-June 1, is not going to come until later. So anyways, I know that was kind of a long segment, but it obviously is information that I needed to get to you guys. Before you listen to an entire podcast that was recorded before the 49ers released Eric Armstead. Nonetheless, I appreciate you. Thank you for listening and enjoy the episode.
Has got him and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives and he's in. Touchdown, 49ers.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. My name is Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for all of you fine folks on the other side of the speaker. I appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you being here. Have a seat. Take a seat. Grab some gummy bears or whatever your snack is. Grab a drink. Chill out. I don't know about you guys, but I like constantly have to be drinking something. It's really kind of a problem, whether it's water, whether it's my... Let me read the label to be exact here. Hold on. Kirkland Signature Diet Green Tea Citrus Flavor with natural flavors. I have to be drinking something all the time. So take a seat, grab a drink, grab some gummy bears, some popcorn. I mean, I guess it's not a show. You know, it's not that type of show, but you can have popcorn. Anyways, this episode is, once again, for what sounds like I'm hearing through the grapevine. Or is it over the grapevine? I guess both. If you're able to make it through without any traffic problems, then you're good through the grapevine. Oh, and over it, not under it. I'm hearing that PrizePicks is sticking around for another year with Striking Gold. So if that is to be the case, that is a massive hat tip to all of our listeners here. Remember, if you would like to get on the action with PrizePicks, you're going to go to prizepicks.com/gold and you're going to use the promo code GOLD to get a first deposit match of up to $100. So you put in 100, they'll give you 100. We'll talk about PrizePicks a little more later. Today and now, we're going to talk about the 49ers and the NFL being on the cusp of free agency. It's right there. It's right there. If you've seen We Bought a Zoo with Matt Damon, incredible movie with Scarlett Johansson. There's a part where they're like Nemesis, the guy that has to inspect the gym, says he just quite can't get a handle on it. And he like grips his hand as if he's grabbing a handle. It's really, I don't know why it stuck with me sometimes. But right now we can almost get a handle on free agency. It's happening tomorrow, essentially. Tomorrow is actually Monday. I'm recording this at Sunday at 3:45 p.m. On Monday at 9 a.m. is when the quote-unquote, I mean a hard quote-unquote here, when the legal tampering period begins. You guys have heard me make fun of that term many times on the Striking Gold podcast, which, by the way, forgot to mention, this is episode 349 of yours truly. So, I mean, with that said, there's a shout out that needs to be given, you know, because it ends in 49. That's why it's special. And shout out that needs to be given to Eric Crocker for having me on here, for inviting me to be his co-host. And then there's got to be a shout out to KP for stepping up and being the next co-host, only to be crushed by a corporation's greed. You've heard that story. And then obviously a shout out to all of you guys. And it doesn't show any signs of stopping. Doesn't show any signs of stopping. I'm still on the lookout for a co-host that I think is going to be able to uphold kind of what I feel like we've got going here. And I'm going to be stubborn with that. So just know that I'm always thinking about it, but I'm not going to settle is the best way to put it. So buckle up, folks. Lock in. Anyways, episode 349. Let's do this. So Monday at 9, tomorrow at 9 a.m. There's a good chance that when you are listening to this, it already is Monday at 9 a.m. There's a good chance the 49ers have already made a move. And if the 49ers haven't already made a move by the time you're listening to this, or at least close to when you're listening to this, then either they've made a move, or if they haven't, then someone would have undoubtedly already posted the meme of that skinny stick figure dude poking the 49ers logo with a stick, telling it to do stuff. So you're either going to get one of those or the other. Either the 49ers have already made one of their signature surprise moves, or any move for that matter, or you're going to get the meme with the stick and the 49ers logo and the do stuff. Okay. So just expect one of those two. I'm trying to prepare you. That is what I want to do here, is prepare you for all possibilities. And that meme is definitely one of them. So my take on the 49ers when it comes to free agency is, as of right now, actually, I'm going to open up another tab. Boop, 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 boop. I don't want to erase the tab that I've got right now, but per over the cap, which is my preferred salary cap website, the 49ers are $285,000 over the salary cap. Now, I'm sure there's some twists and turns, you know, some contracts the numbers are going to change, some players that are going to be released, some restructuring that's going to be done. But as of right now, they are over. So let me see here. Let me click on this. They've got the salary cap set to 280. I'm trying to see where they told. Usually they have the total amount listed. 49ers top 51 is 287. million, and so that must mean that's where they've got the salary cap set. So we'll see how that changes. And obviously with the salary cap, yes, it's real, I promise, but there's so much maneuvering and so much finagling that it's what gives it the impression that, you know, it isn't real type of deal. So where they go from there, you know, we'll see. Obviously the first person, your average person's going to see this and say, well, what do you mean? They're already over the salary cap. They can't spend any money. Well, and that would be a perfectly plausible thing to think. But the 49ers have some obvious contracts that can be reworked. They have some, and I'm assuming quite a few of these are going to come down. They have some extensions they can hand out that, depending on how that extension is handed out, can actually save them money. Fred Warner, I was looking through the team's roster. Let's click into that now. Fred Warner seemed like an obvious person that could be due for some restructuring / extending. You know, that's just as easy as it gets. Fred Warner's cap number this year went from $9 million in 2023 to $24 million in 2024, $26 million in 2025, $24 million in 2026. So, you know, there's definitely some restructuring that could be done there. Let me see. I'm just making sure. I'm just making sure they haven't restructured them in the past, because I'm looking at this and it almost reads like a restructured deal, you know, given there's a void year and stuff on it. But he's somebody that they could restructure, they could extend, they could push some of the money around. To me, another obvious, just straight up extension candidate is Charvarius Ward, who has a cap number of $18 million, which isn't a number that necessarily stands out to me. $18 million for a corner of his quality. I just saw, I can't remember who did it, but he was listed as like the number 4 cornerback in the NFL. I want to say it might have been Pro Football Focus. But he has an $18 million cap hit. And then where my knowledge lacks is he has 3 void years added onto the back end of his contract. I'm assuming that's a, it says prorated signing bonus, probably a restructure of sorts where they push that signing bonus off, and that's where you get dead money when a player is cut. But to me, Charvarius Ward is a very obvious extension, and they could probably continue to pay him somewhere around the salary he's already getting paid, because he got a good deal to begin with. And they could keep him around. He's obviously their number one corner. He's capable of shadowing number one receivers, and that could immediately save them quite a bit of money based on his $18 million cap hit now. You know, you push that off to year two and year three. The danger of doing that, of course, is you have one Brock Purdy who, as of right now, is on a trajectory to earn a lot of money. So they can't just necessarily go crazy with pushing things backwards when, yes, the salary cap does go up. Yes, more room is created, but they're also going to run into that big old fat deal that's probably going to be over $40 million a year if Purdy continues to play how he plays. I'm not saying they're going to have to make Purdy the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, but they're going to have to pay him a very competitive salary once he gets there, which will be a while. You also have Brandon Ayuk, who's on a $14 million fifth-year option. One of the obvious options for the front office is to extend him, and that will cut off a lot of that number and move it backwards. Again, moving backwards sounds great, and you can kind of play a game where you continue to move stuff backwards. But if you're not careful, that's how you end up cutting someone that's still due like $15 million in dead money, some serious stuff like that. Not necessarily mismanagement, but it always just looks bad. I think the Broncos have like $85 million in dead money from their Russell Wilson debacle. Man, that is just nuts how that has unfolded. I saw people talking about the worst NFL trades of all time. And of course, Trey Lance's name did come up, but I think Russell Wilson might take that cake given the money that was involved in it. You know, at least the 49ers, they gave up some very valuable draft capital to get Trey Lance. But and then this third overall pick gets paid a lot of money, but you're not talking the hundreds of millions of dollars that Russell Wilson was paid and the draft picks that were given up and the dead money that was just sitting there. Going to Russell Wilson, who's no longer going to play for you. So yeah, Charvarius Ward and extending Brandon Ayuk, you could do that. Kay Adams of the Up and Adams show had Deebo Samuel on. Deebo Samuel said he doesn't see Brandon Ayuk leaving. Neither do I. I mean, to me, shit would have to go pretty haywire for 49ers to say screw it with, you know, and punt on Brock Purdy's favorite target and somebody who's established himself as one of the best receivers in the NFL. You can, you know, pretty easily a top 10 guy now. And I just, considering the amount of effort that Kyle Shanahan's put into Ayuk's development and the connection those two have, I do think the 49ers owe Brandon Ayuk even more targets. You know what I mean? So I don't see him leaving. I think things would have to go pretty sour. Something I learned from Matt Mayoko of the NBC Sports Bay Area is, one of John Lynch's closest friends, I didn't write it down his name, but one of John Lynch's closest friends is Brandon Ayuk's agent. So knowing that, and that's probably one of the more important informational nuggets you'll get out of the whole situation. It seems pretty favorable, likely, that Ayuk will be back with the 49ers and those two sides will be able to work it out. I know the 49ers are going to want Ayuk to play on his fifth-year option, which is not necessarily an insulting request. He's due $14 million, but that's not what these players are after. They're after guarantees, which is guaranteed, but they're after security. You know, they want future security. These guys are building generational wealth that if they're smart with their money, they can pass on to family and they can offer to close family members. And, you know, I've always said if I were to ever win the lottery, I would be more excited about the close family that I would be like able to give money to and change their lives than I would about the money that I just won, you know, because it's infectious. But so that's what Brandon Ayuk's doing. And while $14 million does seem amazing, it pales in comparison to what his next deal will be, whether that's with the 49ers or with another team. So when someone says, and I've even said this to the point where, you know, why would he not want to play on $14 million? He would, but it's the fact that there's nothing after that. That's it. And if you get hurt playing on that $14 million, then your big payday is significantly less, probably more than $14 million less than you would have gotten to begin with. So there's definitely some things to consider when dancing around that subject. But all signs to me point towards Ayuk being back with the 49ers, especially when you consider the numbers he put up and how he instantly developed a chemistry with Purdy. That, to me, would seem pretty risky, cutting him loose. All right. A couple of other, you know, cap numbers that kind of pop out when you look at the 49ers roster. Eric Armstead's cap number is absolutely massive, probably a little inflated. You know, you've obviously got a guy that was willing to put his body on the line in the playoffs and play through an injury. But his cap number this season is $28.3 million. That's massive. The 49ers could ask Armstead to take a pay cut. But again, that's a delicate dance, given you've got a guy that's been, he's the oldest tenured player on the roster. Been here since before Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Is he the last player? I know we've talked about this before. Kind of just looking down the list. There's probably at least one more. Maybe there isn't anymore. You know, you got to understand the optics of asking a player to take less, especially one that is a leader in the locker room and is willing to put his body on the line for the team. But kind of the nature of the business, the other cap number that stands out is obviously Deebo Samuel. He is due $28.6 million this year. So that's, you know, that's a lot of money. So, and did the season Deebo just had justify that? You know, I go back and forth. It's tough. Deebo just kind of has his place solidified on this offense. You know that he can absolutely dominate a game at any point, but does he do it often enough to command that kind of salary? I think that's kind of just a question that's best left up in the air. I'm not even decided on it. I know there were times throughout the season where I was like, it doesn't really seem like, I think the 49ers could do without Deebo Samuel. I think they'd be all right. And then you'd have one of those games where I was like, yep, I was wrong. And then, you know, I don't know. I know that for all intents and purposes, he got pretty much shut down in the Super Bowl, but we won't get into that. Anyways, I'm not trying to be negative here. It's just Eric Armstead's and Deebo Samuel's cap numbers sitting right next to each other stand out a lot between the two of them, it's almost $60 million in salary cap. So we'll see where they go from there. I'm looking at all the other numbers. Everything else is pretty much where you would expect it to be. Nothing out of the ordinary. Wouldn't do anything with Kyle Juszczyk's deal. He's got an $8 million cap number. Is this the last year of his deal? No, next year. So Kyle Juszczyk has a cap number of $7.5 million over the next 2 years. That could be somebody I could see them maybe extending a year or two and lowering that number a little bit. You'll never be able to dissuade me from, you know, you see people mention Kyle Juszczyk as a potential cap casualty. I'm not going to say it can happen, but I think the people that say that just really have no idea how important he is to this offense. Like, it's just, if you've seen it, you know what I mean? It would take a person schematically smarter than me to be able to give you the nuts and bolts as to why Kyle Juszczyk is part of the driving force of this offense. And there's a reason the 49ers are one of the few teams that use a fullback, but if you know, type of thing. So I did pull up the players that the 49ers are losing in free agency. And it's an interesting list. Now, there are people that I kind of want to mention that are technically not losses yet. Well, the first one to mention is Colt McKivitz, who the 49ers, he was signed through 2024. They added another year to his deal for $7 million, which now I understand that Colt McKivitz is not an incredible right tackle. But he's not the worst. And right tackles, even serviceable right tackles, are hard to come by in the NFL. And making sure that the 49ers have Colton McKivitz on the roster for an affordable price, to me, gives them some flexibility in what they do in the draft. And no, signing McKivitz to that modest one-year extension does not mean that the 49ers are not going to draft a right tackle. All it does is give them a little flexibility. If they can't find the one they want this year, then they can go after one next year. Or if they do find the one they want this year, they don't have to rush him onto the field. They have the flexibility of saying, okay, let's maybe our rookie will kick inside the guard. Maybe Colt McKivitz will kick inside the guard. We'll put this rookie out there. The rookie doesn't have to start this year. It just allows the 49ers to kind of play around with things and not feel like they have to find an answer right the F now. You know what I mean? And that's never a bad thing. And again, I'm not saying that Colton McKivitz is some sort of answer or solution at the position. We know that. But he, as the season went on, it seemed like he kind of got his legs under him, started to improve, had a really good NFC Championship game. You know, go back and look at how much Aiden Hutchinson was a factor in that game. But it's just, it's a good move. It's good team building. It's good roster building. It's good depth. And if he's not starting, you don't necessarily feel bad about the money you're paying him, but you also know he's on your roster. He can step in and instantly fill in at multiple spots along the offensive line. It was a good move. And you don't have to call it anything more than that. It's not saying that Colton McKivitz should be the starter. The 49ers may replace him in a little more than a month in the NFL draft. But gives them some security, gives them some options, and the 49ers can mess around. They can have a right tackle competition in between a rookie and McKivitz, and whoever wins that gets the position, and whoever loses that kicks into guard. You know, but that is dependent on my next point, which is of all the losses, I'll read through them, and I have them sorted by snap count. So the names that I'll say first played the most. At the top of the list is safety Tashawn Gibson, whom I'm assuming is retiring. If not, he could come back for another year. That wouldn't necessarily surprise me. He doesn't necessarily look washed, as you would say. We'll see on that. We'll see on that. Now, the 49ers could just be looking to go with Jair Brown and Talanoa Hufanga, should he come back ripping and roaring. Right behind Tashawn Gibson. Again, these are the losses. You've got Tashawn Gibson, Chase Young, defensive end Chase Young. You've got interior defensive lineman Sebastian Joseph Day. And we're already down to 52% of snaps. So we're not talking about full-time starters. The only really full-time starter on this list is Tashawn Gibson. Chase Young played 59% of the snaps. Isaiah Oliver, who's already been released, he played 46. And then you've got John Feliciano, who played 44% of the snaps and obviously started working his way into the rotation and performed like one of the better right guards in the NFL. And I really do think the 49ers want to have him back. He's an obvious choice to bring back. Did he price himself out of the 49ers based on the way he played? Possibility. But, you know, as long as his little spat with Spencer Burford on leaving Twitter spat with Spencer Burford on leaving Chris Jones unblocked, who just got a massive deal from the Chiefs, so he didn't go anywhere. As long as that didn't have any weird ramifications for the front office, it didn't. It doesn't seem like it. But, I mean, again, John Feliciano played like one of the better right guards in the NFL in both the run and pass. And I think the 49ers would be wise to bring him back and plug him in there. They'll have Spencer Burford as a backup. But we'll see. He may have played too well to do that. And then you've got Javon Kinlaw, Cleveland Farrell, Randy Gregory, Kevin Givens, Juwan Jennings played 34% of the snaps. I expect him to be back on either a second round tender or they just sign him to a little modest extension. But we'll see. Juwan Jennings may feel like he can get a pretty decent deal in the free agent market. And, He wants, again, other teams are allowed to shoot him offers, but if Juwan Jennings accepts it and the 49ers don't choose to match it, then that team has to send the 49ers a second round pick. If the 49ers choose to do that tender, which I'm assuming they will, the only other option they have below that is the original round tender, which would be a seventh round pick. And any team would, I mean, that's, you know, that's pennies. Oren Burks, Charlie Warner is an interesting name on here. Ben Bartsch, Ray McLeod. Again, we're now down to 14% of the snaps. You've got Sam Darnold. The 49ers will probably have to wait on that one to see if another team goes after him as like a bridge starter. If that happens, then the 49ers won't be able to match what another team's willing to pay him. But if another team doesn't hit him like that, I'm sure the 49ers would love to have him back, but we'll see. So some of the names on there, obviously Juwan Jennings, John Feliciano, Colton McKivitz had that deal added. It'd be interesting to see what the 49ers and Tashawn Gibson agree to, or if Gibson just decides to call it quits. I don't think anything official has come out yet. Javon Kinlaw, that's a question mark going back and forth, really improved throughout the season, but he may be able to get quite a bit more money from another team than the 49ers are going to be willing to pay what basically was a rotational defensive lineman. Cleveland Farrell had that knee injury, got put on IR late in the season. Might be somebody the 49ers look to bring back. They should be able to do it affordably. But every other name on there doesn't really feel like something the 49ers are sweating over. But we'll see. We'll see.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we carry on, let's get a quick word in about Prize Picks. And again, Prize Picks, you've heard me talk about it over and over, but again, they're rocking with us for 2024. So we're going to keep rocking with them. Daily fantasy sports. It's you against the numbers. You're not battling against anybody else but yourself. And for me, that was one hell of a battle. I was exchanging haymakers with myself like crazy. You're picking 2 to 6 players. You're picking more or less on these stat projections, and you're watching the winnings roll in. I had an absolute blast testing my skills on Prize Picks throughout the season. Now, obviously, the NFL is not in swing right now, but MLB, NBA, hockey, NHL, wherever you want to go. They even have freaking Call of Duty on there, the Call of Duty League. Last I checked, Optic was beating Ultra. Let me give it another check-in. Just got to search Call of Duty League. Let's give it a check-in. But again, the point being here is that map 5 inbound, so it's 2-2. Okay. The point being here is that Prize Picks has everything you need to satisfy that little craving you've got. What I like best about Prize Picks is the simplicity. Prize Picks, it's really simple to play. It takes like 60 seconds to lock in. You get on there, you make your picks, and you can submit an entry in no time. The team could be standing out there ready for kickoff, and you can lock in an entry before they kick it. Again, you're going to go to prizepicks.com/gold, and you're going to also use the promo code GOLD for a first deposit match of up to $100. I repeat, that's prizepicks.com/gold. And use the code GOLD. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Prize Picks country, let's ride. So bad. I'm sorry I did that, but I did it. Okay, so my how I'm essentially going to finish this podcast. We're going to talk about, and it's not going to take a long time, but we're going to talk about the swing. Okay, and I know that I just got done talking about the fact that 49ers are actually over the salary cap right now. But again, there is some serious maneuvering that can be done to make sure that is not a problem at all. And over the last 2 years, the 49ers have made big swings in free agency. Obviously, last year's swing was signing one of the free agency's most coveted players, and that was Javon Hargrave. The year before that, was the year before that Charvarius Ward? No, well, it's 2020. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, right. Yes, it was. Okay. So over the last 2 years, when they were in both years, they were right up against the salary cap. They have managed to sign a premier player, and I don't think this year is going to be any different. And if anything, I think the 49ers have more cause this year to sign a premier free agent than they have in the past. I think the 49ers need to take a massive swing. I was reading Tim Kawakami of The Athletic. He thinks the 49ers are still primed for a big move or two, and I agree. I think if the 49ers truly want to run it back, they know that they've got almost the exact same roster. The main pieces are still there, and if they can just pick themselves up from the disappointment of losing a Super Bowl that they should have won, they can do this again, and they can get as far as they got this year, and they can do the damn thing with the roster they've got and just take that one big swing And again, there may be some serious salary cap ramifications in the past. They even may have to release a big time player now. I mean, but that's a decision for them to make. But I think the 49ers truly want to make one more run at it. And this is a team that's set up for success. It's not going to look the same as it is now, but there very much is kind of a last dance vibe with this roster, knowing that they're right up against the salary cap, knowing that Brock Purdy's deal is coming up. They're going to have to eventually pay him if he keeps playing the way he is. And to me, with the roster the way it is in its current form, and given the draft class's strengths being, you know, corner and offensive tackle, I think that if the 49ers are going to take a massive swing and really just try and hit this one out of the park, I think it needs to be on a pass rusher. And when you look at the free agent market and the pass rushers that are available, there are a lot of options for the 49ers. Now, unfortunately, a pass rusher is the second or third most expensive position to sign. It's not going to be cheap, but I am very much all in on any type of move like this, truly an effort move. Let's do this. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But this team should have won the Super Bowl. They can still win the Super Bowl. And now they've got they've probably gone through the stages of mourning where the disappointment and sadness is starting to fade and the excitement and the anger is starting to build in regards to, we should have won that shit. Let's do it again. And let's finish the job this time. And I think that if they want to do that, it's got to be on a pass rusher. And if you look at the free agent market and the pass rushers available, I don't know how big they're willing to swing, but the number one free agent, I'm on the Athletics free agency list right now, but there's a ton of them. The number one free agent on this list is Minnesota Vikings pass rusher Danielle Hunter. And again, you're going to sign a guy like that, it's going to be a lot of money, over $20 million. You know, he's about to turn 30. He's been in the league for a while, but he's one of the premier pass rushers. He's entering into his 10th season again. He's obviously like a massive swing, but don't let that deter you. Go down the list of free agents. Just a few spots down is Za'Darius Smith, who's with the Browns right now. Obviously a very, very solid pass rusher. Then you've got Jonathan Greenard. Could be Grenard, but I think it's Greenard. He's with the Texans, a team that's going to run a very similar defensive system to the 49ers. He's the Athletics' number six free agent. Za'Darius Smith was their number four free agent. And then you've got Bryce Huff down there, who is finishing up a season with the Jets. He's got a pressure rate of 21.3%, which is very solid. He had 10 sacks last season. He's coming off a season with the Jets. None of these players are going to be cheap, but I think the 49ers could absolutely 100% use a pass rusher opposite Bosa that's going to cause an offense problems. And right now they've tried to get that, on the roster so far. They haven't been able to find it. That's why a pass rusher is the second or third highest paid position on a team. But, you know, they've got Robert Beal Jr., who didn't really do anything in his first year. You've got, they've got him listed at D-line. Sorry, I'm just looking through the 49ers defensive lineman here. They've got the defensive lineman kind of scattered amongst the defensive ends. You wish they would almost separate them, but. So to me, the 49ers have tried to take little swings on it. They've got Drake Jackson, who hasn't really shown anything. He had that 3 sacks performance to open the year, and pretty much this year ended in the same way. He did get injured, but it's the same way as his rookie year. Things kind of just fizzled out. Cleveland Farrell got injured, but again, not necessarily a difference maker, definitely a solid rotational piece. Drake Jackson, we'll see. You could even make the case that Javon Hargrave wasn't quite the impact they wanted to have. Did the 49ers defensive line blow you away at any time this season? To me, they need one more piece. And You'd like to see them even shore up the interior of the defensive line as well. But to me, that big swing should be on a pass rusher. There's guys out there that are capable of it. You've got Leonard Floyd. You've got Bryce Huff. You've got Jonathan Greenard. You've got Za'Darius Smith. You've got Danielle Hunter. There's other names out there, like Brian Burns, who was given the franchise tag by the Panthers. Now, that would take an absolutely massive deal, both in money and draft capital, to get him. But again, I'm talking about a swing. I'm talking about an absolute, like, we are not losing this shit again type swing. At least they feel they're making that type of move. A move that sends shockwaves through the NFL type of stuff. And Brian Burns would definitely be one of those. There's rumors that Khalil Mack is available as the Chargers kind of go through their transitioning phase into the Harbaugh era. Joey Bosa, too. That seems, you know, both of them are available via trade. Will both of them be cut? Will one of them be cut? You know, Brandon Staley, the Chargers' former head coach, is now on the 49ers. There's a trade or a deal to be made there. I mean, Khalil Mack opposite Nick Bosa, no one would bat an eye at that. The uniting the Bosa brothers seems like a bridge too far. It seems just a little, you know, like that might be a little too big. You know what I mean? But again, I don't know how the salary cap can be twisted and mended to really make any sort of a deal happen. We'll see. But this is where I think the 49ers should put all their chips, all their free agency chips. At least, you know, it's kind of like the movie Air on Prime about Nike signing Jordan. You know, they were supposed to sign like three medium-priced players and just kind of make that work because the Nike sports program hadn't really grown too much by then. They weren't really big money players like Adidas was or like Converse was. But Matt Damon's character says, no, I don't want to sign three players. I want to sign one. And I'm kind of that mindset for the 49ers. Like, no, they're not going to just be able to sign one free agent. But when it comes to a premier player, a splash, man, there are some pass rushers. I lean towards Bryce Huff, you know, coming away from the Jets. He's going to get a big deal. He's only 26. It says right here, per The Athletic, his pressure rate is the best in this free agent class. That to me seems like a pretty reasonable. He's not the absolute top tier when it comes to free agent pass rushers, but he's like right there. I don't know much about Jonathan Greenard out of the Texans. You know, obviously he's coming off a system that's very close to what the 49ers can do. His pressure rate is 12.8% compared to Bryce Huff's 21.3%, and that's kind of determined on a side, you know, on a per snap basis. Doesn't matter how many snaps they have, it's a percentage. So Za'Darius Smith, he's at 16.5%. I'm just kind of reading through here, but now, you know, I guess I can't get too weird about percentages because Danielle Hunter's percentage is at 13.4. He did have 16.5 sacks though, so damn, and he stays healthy. He's been largely healthy through most of his career, but I'm looking at Bryce Huff. It's kind of like the one, but we'll see. We'll see. Let me scroll down a little bit, see if there's any other names. There's a lot of D tackles on here, and that's not what I'm referring to, but the 49ers do need to try and improve against the run. So there's some, and Chase Young is their number 26. I mean, I don't know. We saw it, you know, he made an impact every now and then, but I don't think he was quite the player the 49ers were hoping to get. Jadeveon Clowney's on here. You know, he's still a guy. He's still a guy. That name just carries so much weight. All right. So again, to me, if I were in John Lynch's ear, I say, look, you guys were so close. And if there's one thing you want to be able to do better than you did in the Super Bowl is make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable and get his ass on the ground and maybe account for him on a fourth down that would have won you the Super Bowl, that sort of thing. So that's my pitch. I think the 49ers should go all in on a pass rusher. I think they should put serious money into it, and that may have some repercussions down the road. It may have some repercussions on the salary cap now. They might have to cut a key player. They may have to trade somebody. but I really do think that that may be the move that pushed the 49ers defense back into that elite category and really gets quarterbacks nervous in the pocket. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So let me know what you guys think. Sum up the names I mentioned, because there's a lot of them. Jonathan Greener, Za'Darius Smith, Danielle Hunter, Bryce Huff, Brian Burns was franchise tagged. There could be some coaxing there. Khalil Mack may be available. Joey Bosa may be available. That would be wild. So, you know, there's some serious names out there, and the 49ers can get after it if they want to. Some other notes just to cap things off. Mac Jones was traded to the Jaguars for a 6th-round pick. And the 49ers traded Trey Lance for a 4th-round pick, so that clearly means the 49ers won that trade and got the better. I'm just kidding. So stupid. So, I mean, that quarterback class is just absolutely fizzling into pieces. Let me see if I can. I should have done this already. How many times have I said that? Here we go. So, Trevor Lawrence seems decent, still on the Jaguars. Now has Mac Jones as a backup. That sucks. Zach Wilson obviously won't be on the Jets this year. Has given permission to seek a trade. Trey Lance has already been traded to the Dallas Cowboys for a 4th-round pick. Justin Fields is expected to be traded, so the Bears can take Caleb Williams. Mac Jones just got traded. Kyle Trask, blank. Kellen Mond, not the one. And Davis Mills, at least did some stuff. So, I mean, what an absolute just... I heard a Navy SEAL one time say, after a big march, that his feet were hammered dog shit. That quarterback class looks like hammered dog shit, for lack of a better term. Another name that I saw mentioned in free agency was a former 49ers linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair, who's expected to hit the open market again. Which, with Dre Greenlaw suffering a season-ending injury in the Super Bowl, we'll see how he can. We'll see how he can work his way back in. You know, there was some positive prognosis from doctors about he should be kind of back in the middle of the offseason or late offseason. But that would be an interesting addition. Wouldn't necessarily be cheap, but wouldn't break the bank. I saw ESPN's Jeremy Fowler said he kind of thought the 49ers would be in on the linebacker Lavonte David market. I think he's still coming from the Bucks. Obviously a great linebacker, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if the 49ers tried to dip their toes back into at least a little bit of the free agent linebacker market just to get somebody that they're confident in while Dre Greenlaw kind of goes through his recovery. And I think that's all I got. Again, I'm recording this on a Sunday afternoon, and free agency, the legal tampering period, which just sounds gross, is going to begin Monday morning, 9 a.m. And I'm assuming you'll begin hearing about deals right away. And just remember, you're going to get one of two things. You're going to get the 49ers doing a deal, or you're going to get that meme of the poking and the do stuff. Okay? Expect it. Expect it. Baseball coach used to yell that all the time. Expect it. All right. I appreciate everybody. You know this, but I do appreciate you. If you want to just show a little bit more support to the podcast, go to... Oh, and by the way, going to do another episode this week. I'm going to make time for another episode. I'm going to try and keep it at 2 episodes a week. One episode a week, just maybe sometimes, but I'm going to try and keep it to 2 episodes a week because I love y'all. And I want to keep this show rolling in the same way it rolled throughout the season. But again, if you want to leave us a little more support, go to whatever app you listen to, leave us a 5-star review, put some words in there, put a question in there. I'll add it to the podcast. It'll be like an informal mailbag. Again, 5-star reviews, whatever app you're listening to. I appreciate you. Is there anything else I need to say? I don't think so. FriendsPicks.com/gold. Love you guys. I'm Rob. This is Striking Gold. And we're signing out.